continue our series we started last week that we've started. It's called Habits for Life. Looking at this idea that we need to cultivate and develop habits in our lives that will not only sustain us, but will bring life to us. And so that's what we've been talking about. And last week, we started this off by talking about how we have to be willing and prepare ourselves to receive from God. If we will not prepare ourselves, then God's word can't penetrate, that he can't speak to us the way that he wants to. Now, quite often, we are just not listening. Is this thing working? We're just not listening to what God has to say. Last week, we looked at the parable of the soil. And this morning, the title of my message is Feed Yourself. Would you turn to the person next to you and say, feed yourself? Some of you moms in the room said it with oomph. Feed yourself, kid. See, but the Bible tells us that we need to develop deep spiritual roots if we want to grow up in the ways of God. And there's a lot of rich imagery in the story of God, in God's word, the Bible. He teaches us in parables. He teaches us through these kind of examples that we can visualize. That's why I love that example of a tiny seed. And last week we talked about seeds. And now God wants to plant seeds in our lives that will grow an abundant harvest of things in our lives. Now, some of you have been waiting for God to do something in your life. Perhaps you've been waiting for a breakthrough from God. Perhaps there's something else that you've been needing. You need some sort of financial breakthrough, or there's some other relational issue that you're just like, God, I just really need, I need you to show up in this area. And for some of us, this morning as we talk about roots, I believe that some of us, God is saying, if before I can raise you up higher, before I can take you beyond this area, you've got to dig your roots down deeper. You've got to penetrate deeper before I can take you higher. And see, that's the spiritual reality that we're going to talk about today. Now, let me ask you a question. With a show of hands, how many of you have ever experienced or understand this word, hangry? How many of you guys ever heard that word, hangry? Show of hands. How many of you'd say the person sitting next to me gets hangry sometimes? Yeah, all right, good. You guys know what I'm talking about. For those of you who don't have your hands up, I have no idea what I'm talking about. This is what hangry means. In fact, there's an official definition. Hangry is an adjective. It is the state of anger caused by lack of food. Hallelujah, there's a real thing. Hunger causing a negative change in an emotional state. See, hanger is what happens when some of us get hungry. Now, as we were doing our work day, we got great, awesome workers, people volunteering. But about 12 o'clock, I could see people starting to get a little hangry. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, and you put a little food in the stomach, and everyone's happy, and the birds are chirping. And this is what happens to some of us. In fact, some of you get so hangry. I won't say I bought this shirt for my wife, but maybe I should. I'm sorry for what I said when I was hungry. Some of us need that t-shirt. But we get that way, don't we, when we have a lack of food in our bellies. And I would submit to you that we get the exact same way spiritually. When we don't fill our tank spiritually, we can get hangry. We can get spiritually hangry. We can miss out, and our attitude gets out of whack, and we get out of balance. And this morning, we're going to look at two key scriptures. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Psalm chapter 1 and Jeremiah 17. If you're following along in the YouVersion app, which I think we talked about last weekend, we have all of our notes in the YouVersion app. You can find us under events, which is a cool way to follow along with the message. All the scriptures are there, and it's a cool way to follow along. So Psalm chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it'll be on the screens as well. Would you guys read this first verse aloud with me together? You guys ready? Okay, yeah, I'm not hearing you yet. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
All right. Ready? Go. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. I'm going to read the second scripture. I'm going to flip real quick as it continues on that idea. Jeremiah 17:8 says, he is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream, and it does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Now, how many of you would say, I want that to be true in my life? I want my life to be fruitful even when times are not so good. How many guys would say that? Come on. See, I don't know about you, but I don't have like a vision beyond the present. I can't see what's going to happen tomorrow. And I don't know if drought is coming or lots of rain. We live in California, so the reality is probably going to be drought, right? But I want my life to yield something fruitful for God, no matter what the circumstances of life happen. And that's exactly what God is talking to us. See, hard times will come in all of our lives. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And so the question becomes, are we tapped into something that is deeper than us, a source that will sustain us even through a midst of drought? See, we have to develop deep spiritual roots if God is going to be able to raise us up. So how do we do that? How do we grow those deep spiritual roots? I want to share with you just a couple of ideas this morning. We're going to continue this idea next week as well. But how do we do that? How do we grow up in the things of God? Here's two things. How do we thrive in all seasons? The first thing we've got to do is we've got to develop a self-feeding program. In other words, we've got to tap into a deeper source, just as our scriptures today share with us. Psalm 1:3 says, His delight, actually Psalm 1:2, says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law He meditates day and night. And then it talks about those roots. See, if we want to thrive, if we want to have a source that will sustain us in all seasons, then we've got to develop some habits. We've got to develop some healthy routines in our life that will tap us into something deeper than ourselves. See, it's so easy to be a surface-level person, isn't it? In our relationships, just to go an inch deep, maybe a mile wide, but an inch deep, right? You heard that expression there, a mile wide but an inch deep. It's easy to be surface level, and it's easy to be surface level in our relationship with God. But just as the parable we looked at last week, if we don't have those roots that go down deep when the sun comes, then it's going to wither our lives. That kind of faith won't supply our needs, and when we go through those hard seasons of life, if we want to thrive in those seasons, we've got to take our roots deep. Because in the road of life, I'm going to throw a metaphor at you. You ready? Yeah, you're ready. One of you is ready. Cool. In the road of life, there are going to be potholes. You ever hit a pothole? Like, some of the ones in Simi are kind of big sometimes, but not so much. They're actually pretty good, most of the roads, but sometimes you'll hit a pothole and be like, and it just jars you. And in life, some of those potholes are bigger than others. Some of those things will shake us in a way that just gets our attention. And some of them, man, it feels like we fell off a cliff. Am I right? Some of those things that we hit. And so we've got to develop those roots to sustain us no matter what hits us in life. See, our passage says, blessed is the man or woman who does not listen to all the pundits, doesn't listen to the talk show host or the naysayers or the people around him that are speaking negativity, but he delights himself in the law of God. And that's what I want to spend the rest of our time talking about. What does it look like to delight ourselves in the law of the Lord? See, I don't know about you, but I love to keep up with the news. I love to see what's happening in our world. Sometimes it can be frustrating. Sometimes it can be depressing. Sometimes it can be angering. And I don't want to be a person that sticks my head in the sand, you know, just ignores the world. But I also don't want to allow the voice of our world, the voice of those commentators and the newscasters and those folks to be larger than the voice of God in my life. Because if I do, my life is going to be in a tailspin. If things are going great, my life's going to be great. If things are going bad in the world and the economy's bad and there's stuff that's happening that I don't like, then man, my world is just going to be upside down. But if I've rooted my life in God's word, if I've rooted my life in God, then those things are going to still hit me, but they're not going to shake me because my roots are deep. Amen. Amen. So what does that look like practically? We've got to begin by saying, God, I want to get into your word. And we've got to make the decision to start a Bible daily Bible reading plan. For some of you, you got to make that decision. You got to say, God, I want to get into the Word every single day. Now, as a church, we've been reading through this Life Journal reading plan. We've got copies, printed copies for you analog folks. Want to slip one inside your analog Bible. For you digital folks, the YouVersion app has this reading plan that you can follow along. In fact, if you're taking notes in YouVersion right now, there's a link at the bottom for you to subscribe. It sounds like I'm plugging YouVersion, man. But it's cool. In fact, another plug, that app is so good, it will even send you a reminder. Some of you are like, well, I can never remember to read the Bible. It'll remind you. It can send you an email. It can send you a push notification. Some of you are like, but I don't like to read, Pastor. I stopped reading when I graduated from high school or when they kicked me out of junior high, or I'm done with reading. Well, there's an app for that. The app will even read it to you. You got no excuses, right? In fact, I actually like to do that. I don't love to read, but I thrive on reading. I know I need to read, and so I read a lot. But I sometimes, when I'm reading through my daily devotion, instead of reading it just by myself, I'll push the play button and I'll read along. Because I find it engages another part of my brain. I'm hearing it and I'm reading it. And sometimes that even helps me even more. So you got no excuses, man. You got reminders. You got an easy way to follow along. It'll read it to you. I mean, come on. So we've got to make a decision to do it, though. That's the hard part for some of us, is saying, I'm going to do it. I actually want to get into God's word every day, just like the scripture says, and meditate on his law day and night. And then here's the even harder part. You've got to keep making that decision day after day, right? You got to keep making that same decision day after day. I know it sounds obvious, but to develop habits, we got to keep doing stuff the same way over and over again. You know, in fact, psychologists say that most habits take about 21 days to firmly establish in our lives. In other words, I've got to keep doing the same thing. Now, there's no magic to it. It's not like after 21 days, it just, woo, it's easy now. But what it means is that after that repetition of doing something over and over again, it becomes easier and easier. Now, you can still jump off the wagon. You can still stop. But I want to encourage you to take that challenge. Say, I'm going to spend the next 21 days, God, and I'm going to read the Word every day. It might be hard. I might be picking up the Bible or picking up my app for the first time in a long time, but I want to do it. So you got to make that decision. You got to keep making that decision. And then the subject of really next week's message is you got to take the treasure that you find. See, what I find is when I prepare myself, like we talked about last weekend, and I come to God's word and I say, God, would you speak to me? Guess what happens? It's crazy. Something pops off the page. I'm reading, I'm like, whoa, I never saw that before. You know, like, God, do you read my mail? Like, how do you know that? I just looked down at a scripture right when I said that, and it says, be angry and do not sin. Whoops. All right, Lord, I'm going to meditate on that one today. But sometimes God will pop something off the page when you're reading the pages of scripture. And sometimes we're like, man, that was really cool. And then, all right, I'm going to go about my day. So you got to take that treasure. You got to write it down. Some of you got to pull out an app. Another app, some other app. Maybe it's Evernote. I don't know what it is. I don't care what it is. You got to take out an app or take out a piece of paper or take out a notebook, and you got to write it down. Because if you're like me, you probably are going to forget it if you don't write it down or jot it down or note it down somewhere. And so you've got to jot that down and then take it out. Here's the deal. You take that with you. You put it in your pocket. You have your lunch break at work. You pull it out. You say, woo, be angry and do not sin. I don't like that, God. But what do you want me to do with it? How can I apply that to my life today, God? Whatever it is, whatever God pops off the page to you, you've got to jot those things down. See, the psalmist says, day and night. Day and night. See, we've got to read God's word and meditate on it day and night if we want it to change us. See, some of us, we hear a word like meditate, and we're thinking we got to buy some incense and sit in funny, you know, seating positions and chant weird sound. No, 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 no. What it means is we got to allow God's word to penetrate the soil of our hearts. Some of us, you know, we know how to cook a steak. You got to marinate something, or if you want it to marinate to go in, you got to let it sit. You know what I mean? Cooking chicken, You got to put it in some marinade. And then if you're like me, you just want to put it in the marinade and throw it on the grill because you're hungry. But if you want it to soak in, you got to let it sit. And some of us with God's word, we just sprinkle it on and then we walk away. And we're like, man, I don't taste like God's word. I don't look like that. Why not? Because I haven't marinated in it. Some of us got to do that. We got to jot it down and then throughout the day, go back to it. To meditate on it just means to say, God, what does that mean? How can I apply that? Day in and day out, all day long, that we would marinate in his word. See, the Bible uses that metaphor of roots. It says, he is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream, and it does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green. And it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. See, we have to develop that root system to keep us and sustain us when times get hard. Let me tell you something. I can't make my tree grow roots. You know what I'm saying? I can't say, tree, grow roots. And your spouse can't do that for you. Your pastor, as much as he wants you to grow roots, I can't make that decision for you. You've got to make the decision to go deep with God. No one will make the decision for you but you. See, you know, they say the expression, you can lead a horse to water, but what? You can't make them drink. And the same is true in our lives. Some of us hope that just by hearing a good teaching or just by listening to a good podcast or being around people that have faith, man, we're going to get something. And there's a lot that can be caught. You know what I'm talking about? But when it comes to this spiritual discipline of putting down our own roots, of learning to hear God's voice for ourselves, no one can do it for you. See, without food, it's impossible to keep alive. I mean, you're going to get hangry, and then you're going to die. That's the order that it goes for, you know. You're going to get hangry, and then you're going to die. And in my life, you know, with my kids and my beautiful bride, I love to death, but man, it's like a couple hours. It's a very fine line between hangry and death. We haven't pushed it that far, thankfully, yet, but it comes fast. And spiritually, we've got to do just that. We've got to get in, we've got to feed ourselves on God's word. Because some of us, man, we're spiritually hangry. We're right on the verge of, man, we're going to get so hungry, we're going to spiritually die. And I know it's a joke, but it's serious. I'm joking around about the really dying, but spiritually, we've got to nourish ourselves. So we've got to develop that self-feeding program and tap into a deeper source. And the second thing we've got to do is we've got to protect our root system. We got to protect it. See, if I believe that I've got a root system that taps me into a stream of living water, if I've got those roots, and follow that metaphor with me, if I'm a tree and I got these roots, man, I've got to protect those things that provide me with nourishment, that keep me alive, that help me to thrive in the midst of chaos and uncertainty. I've got to protect those things. Wayne Cordero's got a great book called The Divine Mentor. If you've never read that book, I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of it. But he shares a story about roots that I think is applicable. I want to just share a portion of it with you. He said, one fine summer day in 1606, in a grove of towering sequoias, in a place that would come to be known as California, Pete, you've been there, a tiny seedling poked up through the virgin soil, drawing energy through the filtered sunlight of the towering sentinels. This infant lifted its arms to the light and the warmth that had awakened it. A year later, as the seedling turned sapling, the London Company established the Jamestown establishment in Virginia. A year after that, as the sapling became a young sequoia, an adventurer named Samuel de Champlain founded Quebec City in New France, a territory that would one day be called Canada. After three more years, the sequoia's top was 11 feet above the forest floor. And at that time, a group of scholars released an elegant English translation of the Bible that would become known as the King James Version. As the tree continued to grow, America became a nation. It fought in a civil war. It joined Europe in fighting two world wars. It put men on the moon, and it suffered at the hands of terrorists on September 11, 2001. Through all of those events, spanning centuries, the seedling became a towering titan of the forest, soaring over 240 feet into the California sunshine. And then, several years ago now, the tree fell to the earth in a thunderous crash. It was the first of Yosemite's magnificent sequoias to fall in many years. And the Forest Service authorized an investigation to figure out what happened. What mysterious force had caused this majestic tree to fall? Was it a windstorm? Was it a crazy guy with a chainsaw? Was it termites? They found it was none of those things, but instead it was foot traffic. In an interview with CNN, one of the park rangers explained that foot traffic around the base of the tree over those years had damaged the root system and contributed to the collapse. She added that park officials had now instituted a policy of fencing some of the oldest, largest, and most historically significant trees to keep the public from trampling the root systems of these giants. See, what they found and discovered is that unprotected, these root systems could be trampled. Trampled by nature lovers, not like tree haters. These people were probably coming and giving hugs to the tree. I mean, I've given those trees hugs. It's pretty cool. But these good-intentioned people walking all around, they didn't realize that they were killing the tree that they came to enjoy. And here's the deal, friends. You and I can have the exact same experience. If we're not careful, the root systems around our lives can become trampled. The things that God wants to use to grow us up and raise us up can become trampled by good-intentioned people that just want to give you a hug. You know what I'm saying? There can be good things in our lives that can choke out the God things in your life. See, we can take good things and say, man, I'm going to do all this stuff, but God says, don't forget to protect your root system. See, I love devotional books. I love books that are written by other people. Like I said, reading ain't my favorite thing, but I do it a lot. For someone who hates to read, I read an awful lot. But I love a good devotional book. I love those things. Sometimes those are helpful to our spiritual growth, but there is nothing in this world that will replace coming to God's unfiltered word and saying, Lord, would you speak to me? Because no other book on earth is the infallible word of God. And so we got to come to God's word. Amen. You can say amen to that. See, there's something important about us coming together and hearing God's word taught, about us coming together in community groups and talking about what that means in our lives. But nothing will replace this source in our lives. And we've got to cultivate that for our own selves. That's why I say you got to feed yourself. Oh, we're gonna teach God's word as we gather. We're going to have God's word proclaimed in our community groups. But you've got to learn to tap into a source in your own life, and then you've got to protect it. See, coming just to eat once a week, man, some of you, if you just ate once a day, you'd be hangry, and you'd be angry, and then you'd just be dead. But we think somehow that spiritually we can get away with it, right? Sometimes we're like, well, I'll listen to a podcast. I'll just come to church. I'll just go to my community group this week, and I'm good. But we got to tap into something every day. We've got to dedicate time. Practically, what does that look like? That means for some of us, for all of us, we've got to carve out a space. We've got to build a sacred enclosure around some space in our day that we say, this is my time with God. This is the time that I'm going to devote to spending with God. And I've got to put up a fence. I mean, the park rangers literally put up fences around some of these trees. And some of us, maybe not literally, but figuratively, we've got to put fences around this time and say, this is my time with Jesus. This is the time I'm going to spend with him because this is important. In the practical, we've got to dedicate those times and then keep it sacred. Mark it on our calendars. Some of us are like, well, yeah, I got a time with God, but if I were to look at your calendar, you got all these appointments, but you don't got an appointment with God. Some of you, you calendar people, that's me, by the way. Us calendar people, we got to put it in our calendar and say, this is my time with God. I cannot book an appointment for my dentist at this time because this is my time with God. It ain't moving. That's where it is. What is that space for you? Now, some of you people, you can see where I'm going. This ain't me. Some of you people are morning people. You are the pre-dawn people. I'm looking at you, Vlad. He was telling me he gets up at, what, 3:30? Woo! I'm tired just thinking about getting up at 3:30. Some of you, though, you love to get up early. The idea of getting up before dawn, before the sun has even decided to wake up, you love that idea. I like the idea of that. My body says, But some of you love that. Like, that's when you are at your best. That's when your mind is working. It's firing on all eight cylinders after you had your coffee and you're ready to go. Some of you are that way, and that's the time for you people, that you got to give that to God. You got to say, God, I'm my best from 3:30 in the morning till 4:30 in the morning. When everyone else is sleeping and enjoying their dreams, that's my best time. God, I want to dedicate that time to you. I want to give a portion of that to you. I want to say, Lord, that's the time when my mind is working the best that I want to give to you. And I've got to put that on my calendar as my first appointment, as my most important appointment, even if it's not the first. See, my wife and I adopted this language many years ago. See, before we had kids, but now my kids see me, and they see me go to the office. I said, Daddy, where are you going? I'm going to the office. Or, Daddy, where are you going? I got to go to a meeting. I've got people I'm meeting with, and they understand. The one thing my boys know about me very well is that Daddy doesn't like to be late. I don't. I'd say I try not to be late, but Yoda says there is no try, only do or not do. So there, I'm not late. Sometimes I am, and I hate it. My boys know that about me. They know that when Daddy has to go meet with a person, he has to go to a meeting, he wants to be on time. And I told them, I don't want them to have to wait for me. Their time is important. And so my boys have seen me have that, and they also know that Daddy has meetings with Jesus sometimes, that I've got an appointment that I can't be late for. And I want my boys to see that marker in my life, that is an unmoving boulder, that I've got a meeting with a person, I'm going to show up early, I'm going to be there and be ready. And when I've got a meeting with Jesus, when I've got that God time marked out in my calendar, I'm not going to be late for that either. See, others of you, just the thought of talking about being up at pre-dawn, and you're like tired. You need a cup of coffee just thinking about it. Some of us are morning people. Others of us, the rest of us, maybe not so much. Some of you guys are really good. Your mind is working well after the sun goes to sleep, and everyone else is tired. That's when you're, man, my brain works now, right? Like you finally got woken up. It's like takes you 12 hours to finally wake up. And then it's the evening time and it's, woo, I can think. For you, you got to give that time to God. See, there's no spiritual right or wrong time to give to God, but the Bible says that we are to give God of our first fruits. We're going to give him our best. And for some of us, we've got to determine, God, what is my best time mentally for me? God, I want to give that time to you when I can really receive and my brain's actually awake. Some of us are like, it's really spiritual to do our devotions at 4 in the morning. So I'm going to be half asleep, and I'm going to open my Bible, and then I'm going to fall asleep. And then it'll get into my brain. That's not how it works. We got to give God our best time. So we can't allow people to bump those times with Jesus. We got to protect it, whatever time it is. See, if you and I want to have the sort of life that thrives, no matter what's happening, if you want to tap into the spiritual source of life-giving water, the source that will sustain you no matter what's going on, then you've got to develop a self-feeding program. You've got to tap into that deeper source, and then you've got to protect it, man. Some of us are really good about protecting our date nights or protecting our hobbies or protecting some other thing that's very important to us. But some of us, when it comes to our time with God, it's like it just keeps getting bumped down the list. And that's okay, but we've got to change our thoughts on that matter and say, God, I want to put that first. God, I want to make a change in that area. So the way we develop deep spiritual roots is we've got to develop a self-feeding program. Learn to get into God's word every single day. I want to challenge some of you to that 21-day challenge. Say, God, I'm going to do it for the next 21 days. I'm going to get into the word every day. Now, you might not read the whole thing. That's okay. But allow God's word to dig into your heart and protect that time. Fight for it. Tooth and nail. Like some of you mamas would protect your kids. Someone tried to snatch them up. Fight for that time. Protect it. Say, this is my time with God. This is the most important thing in my calendar. And if you do, I promise that the Lord will meet you as you commit yourself to allowing those roots to go deep. He'll grow you up high, just like those mighty sequoias. God wants to do that in your life. He wants your life to be fruitful in all seasons. Amen? Would you bow with me as we close our time in responding to the Lord and in prayer? This morning, God is in the house. And I believe that the Lord was reminding us through his living word that speaks to us that he wants us to grow roots that go deep. He wants to supply us with all that we need for the life ahead. No matter what potholes come, he wants us to be ready, prepared with everything we need. Let me ask you a question. What is the condition of your spiritual root system today? Have you neglected to tap into God's source of living water? Have you allowed your roots to go deep? All of us have room to grow, to push our roots down deeper. And God wants us to thrive in seasons of plenty and in seasons of lack. When things are going the way we expect and when they're not. Hear the word of the Lord to some of you this morning. I want you to be like a tree planted by water. That sends out its roots by the stream, and it does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Perhaps you've never made a commitment to reading God's word. Maybe you know God, but you've never committed to digging into his word. Today's your day to begin that journey, to put away all the excuses and start. Some of you got to start small, but start now. Or perhaps maybe you started a discipline of reading God's word a long, long time ago. And for one reason or another, it just fell off the wagon. Today is a day of new beginnings. There's no time like the present to restart those old habits. Wherever you are, God is calling us to put down our roots, to protect our time with him. God wants to speak to you. If that's you and God's challenging you to put down those roots, to tap in, would you pray with me right now? Father, I thank you that you are the God who chose to love me even when I mess up, even when I'm far from you and I don't do anything to deserve it. You love me first. God, I want to hear from you again in a new way. I want the seed of your word to grow deep in my heart, producing abundance in my life. I want you to have your way in me. God, make me fruitful with your works. Help me to tap into your source of living water and prepare me today for all that I will face tomorrow and help my life to be fruitful no matter the circumstances or the dryness of the world around me. Help me to put up sacred enclosures around my time with you to protect it from other things that would starve out my time with you. Finally, with every head bowed and eye closed in this place today, I want to make an opportunity for anyone who said, I've never received God's free gift of grace. I want to hear from God, but I need to know God. God offers to us a free gift of grace. We just have to receive it by faith. If that's you and you've never received God's free gift of grace, you've never said yes to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to do so in just a moment. I believe God brought some of you here, possibly today, to hear this for the first time. If you haven't been walking in a relationship with Jesus and you need to admit your need for his forgiveness for your past, you need his power for your present, and you want the hope of eternity in heaven with him, with every other head bowed and eye closed, I'm going to have you raise up your hand and lift up your eyes. I won't call you down front or do anything. But if that's you, would you lift up your hand, lift up your eyes, with every other head bowed and eye closed? Anyone in this room today? I always want to make space for you. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for loving us, for giving us everything we need in this life. God, would you watch over us? Would you help us to grow deep? And as our roots grow deep, would you help us to be raised high? God, as we're in a season of darkness, as darkness sweeps over our land, God, we thank you that you've given us light, to be light in the darkness. Lord, as your people go from this place today, Lord, would you help us to be light in the darkness? Lord, as we press our roots deep into your word, Lord, I pray the fruit of our lives would be a blessing to all that we see. I pray blessing over your people today as we go in the name of Jesus Christ. All God's people said, amen. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great week. See you guys back.